And we'd like to bring up a real honest-to-God agronomy trials manager, which we refer to as ATMs, by the way. That'd be Jake Vossenkemper. For those of you who are taking notes, that's Vossenkemper. And Jake is from the Decatur area and has been on the job for about a year. And what we've asked him to talk about are some of the projects he's been involved in on the real-world projects in this region.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. Folks, DuPont and Pioneer must have been astutely forward-thinking when they came up with this agronomy trial management position, because growers have hundreds, if not thousands, of questions. I've been on the job for about a year now, and every farm I go to, every operation I visit, as I mentioned, I can't leave without writing down six or seven questions, agronomy questions a farmer has. And sometimes they're desperately seeking answers to these questions. You know, whether it's hurting your potential or not, they're concerned and they want to do the best job they can, just like everybody else. And our job is to step in and help them answer those questions. We do that in a couple different ways. We approach these questions in a couple different ways. The first way we approach these questions is through our agronomy publications. These publications include our flagship publication, our Crop Insights publication. You can view it as a fairly simple literature review, or as an extensive university extension publication. These Crop Insights, they generally look at some fairly specific agronomy questions, some large agronomy questions, and we use these to send to growers in our sales force to help growers answer those questions that are on their mind. We also have other agronomy publications that we use to answer all these questions that we get. There's two other agronomy publications. One is called our Crop Focus publication, and it's more of a simple publication that usually just highlights some important details around some agronomic issues or topics, such as what's a foliar disease look like in corn? What's a foliar disease look like in soybean? Some simple bullet points that might help a grower or our sales force identify what that specific foliar disease is. Or, for instance, I wrote a crop focus on identifying magnesium deficiencies this winter. Magnesium deficiency, like many other mineral nutrient deficiencies, can look like many mineral nutrient deficiencies. So there's some key things, some very key things a grower would need to identify to be able to differentiate these different mineral nutrient deficiencies. So we use these Crop Focus Insights as very simple publications to hand to growers, to give to our sales force, that'll help quickly differentiate one problem from the next. Our other and maybe most important and timely agronomy publication is our Field Facts publication. This Field Facts publication is generally used to answer timely agronomic issues that occur within the field. These agronomic issues I speak of, for instance, I'll just give you a specific example of a Field Facts we wrote this spring. We had tremendous rainfall this spring here in the area, and it was evident that there was going to be some significant nitrogen loss in places. It's hard to believe now that we had too much rain early here, but that is the case. We had large amounts of rain in April, May, and the very earliest part of June, and growers were once again worried about nitrogen loss. So a colleague of mine did some very simple nitrogen modeling where we used up-to-date temperature and precipitation information and based those two pieces of information off of some known denitrification loss rates. And we put together a in-loss risk assessment map. And we sent this in-loss risk assessment map out to all of our folks in the field, all of our agronomists, all of our sales force, and all of our account managers. And that gave a grower an idea of what his potential loss, risk for in-loss might be. So those are timely publications that help growers answer problems at hand. So that's our first approach to answering growers' questions. Now, that obviously doesn't answer all growers' questions. At some point, as Kurt mentioned, we have to do on-farm research and demonstration to answer the rest of the questions. Now, even then, there's no way that we possibly have the time or resources or energy to answer all these questions through research demonstration. So is what we do is we further pare our growers' questions down into categories, and then we go ahead and implement research on growers' farms, our small plot research on our own research farms, or in collaboration with universities to help answer those unanswered questions. And we only do research and demonstrations on the questions that we feel, based on our scientific knowledge, of what might help increase a grower's profitability in increased yield or in cost savings the most. So we really do a good job of carefully sifting through these questions and try to answer the questions that make the biggest difference or give the grower the biggest bang for his buck, so to speak. With that, if I have time, I suppose I could mention a few of our specific experiments that we have had out last year when I first started and are going to implement this year and in the following year, next spring. Those specific experiments are the management of early planted soybean, evaluation of row spacings of less than 30 inches in the central rain-fed corn belt, evaluation of mid-season in on inefficient corn. This question is a burning question in growers' minds whenever there's large amounts of precipitation in the spring. I haven't lived in Illinois for too long, but since I've been here, in the recent past, there's been some very large precipitation events that have occurred in the spring and have probably caused potential in loss. And this experiment is designed to help growers answer the question of how much more in do I need to apply if I already applied in, and if the crop can respond physiologically to added further in applications mid-season. The last experiment I'll briefly mention today is our intensive soybean management experiment. And this experiment is designed to look at factors that have shown to somewhat consistently increase soybean yields. So no offense to our good friend Kip, but we're not looking at applying large amounts of poultry litter or managing in some unpractical aspect. We're just looking at factors that growers can logistically get done in a timely manner. So we're investigating those factors. Some of those factors include seed treatments, foliar applied pesticides and fungicides, as well as planting date in soybean. Soybean planted early in the central corn belt. If you look at some literature from Iowa State, Purdue, and University of Nebraska, it appears to me and to our other agronomy trial managers in the business unit that maybe here in Illinois we should be planting soybean 2 or even maybe 3 weeks earlier than the current cultural practice. That's probably the most interesting factor in this experiment and probably easiest to implement. So we're very interested in looking at a bunch of locations all across Illinois and Indiana where we plant soybean a few weeks earlier than is currently practiced. With that, I think that's all I have, Jerry. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.